is a Spooky Scotty production. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com, your favorite Monday night show, the show that you wait the rest of the week for. You've got your usual host. You've got Kevin and
Molly. I'm here.
Well, welcome to it, everybody. Tonight's going to be an exciting night. Our guest, I'll get right up front, is Karen Dahlman. Molly had a really, really good idea when she scheduled this guest because we kind of wanted to do something different, something a little more technical, something a little more, if you will, Molly, spooky.
I don't know if you call it spooky, but a little more out of the mainstream, I guess, of most of our subjects. I don't know that, you know, Ouija boards are talked about all that often, except for how unsafe they are, or, you know, you're calling in the dark side and whatnot. So I thought it might be good to maybe have somebody on here that can explain it a little bit better to us.
Absolutely, because, you know, they do have quite a stigma attached to them. I know we have not used Ouija boards in our investigations, and I don't think that we necessarily need one.
No, I don't think so. I had a Ouija board as a kid, and, you know, after I got to know a little bit more about what they could do and so on and so forth, I kind of put it away.
Yes. But,
I don't know. I've always kind of stayed away from them since then. But, you know, a lot of people use them quite frequently, so I'm anxious to find out the ins and outs.
Yeah, and that's what Karen is here tonight to talk to us about. She is a Ouija-ologist. She's an author, licensed therapist, business owner, and a consultant, and she's been researching the use of the Ouija board since 1973. Wow. And by first-handedly using and perfecting her communication with varying consciousness and sentient beings through this tool, and she says that she has consistently amazing results. So we will be talking to her tonight. I'm kind of excited. I know that me and Al Warren on his show, we had pretty lengthy conversation about Ouija boards. But, you know, she's been doing it since 73. That is a long time.
That's a long time.
She's also written 3 books about it: The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication, and The Spirit of Alchemy.
So, that might be interesting.
Yeah, we'll get her to talk about those. And if any of our listeners would like to call in tonight and with their questions or their comments or anything that you'd like to talk about along these lines, that phone number is 262-672-2488.
And put it on your speed dial.
And well, it already should be.
It should be. And, you know, we tell them each week where it needs to be. so that way they can call in as soon as they have a question.
And we will field that question as soon as we can. Because we had some...
Or, you know, if you're feeling super shy, well, then you can join us in the chat room and post your question there, and we'll try to get to it and ask it for you. But we prefer you to call in. Makes us, the show more exciting in that way.
Yeah, it spares the listeners having to hear me prattle on for 2 hours. But, yeah, she's going to be calling in, and she's going to be joining us about 8:20. So get your notepads out, get your pencils ready. We're going to take some notes tonight, and hopefully she will be able to change my opinion of the Ouija board.
Well, mine too, I hope.
Oh, no, I've always just kind of, oh. Every time I have a discussion with a group about, you know, ghost hunting or the paranormal, Molly, somebody always brings up a freaky Ouija board story.
Exactly. Have you seen Jumanji?
You're right.
You know, those things can get you in trouble.
Yes. In fact, just this weekend, I had a friend of mine. I told him who our guest was going to be. And he's like, oh my God, I got to tell you this story. And, you know, went about telling me, you know, how they had an Ouija board and how things went south rather quickly. I was like, oh, great.
But, I don't know. You know, I don't think they should be games for children. You know, because you don't know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, you know, and that was my point. And me and Al, we had a really good discussion about this. And my point was this. When you're using an Ouija board, you're never quite sure who you're literally in touch with.
Exactly.
It's like placing random phone calls to random numbers. You're going to get a few that will pick up an answer.
You go, hello, is this who I'm speaking to?
And then how many will say yes?
Yeah.
Sure, now give me your credit card information.
So, yeah, exactly.
But you're
a telemarketer, who knows?
Yeah, we managed to find them and bother them during dinner.
Well, I'm kind of anxious about finding out about all this and if I should take it back up again or not. But I wonder if that's kind of the same thing as using a pendulum, you know, to douse with. Kind of the same thing because you're going to different letters and stuff like that if you're using one of their boards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it's similar or the same thing.
Well, now that you bring up the pendulum, I would have to say that it is. It's a type of divination. It's a type of communication that you're not really sure who is manipulating this device.
Exactly. I always like, you know, if I do anything like that, I always like to ask someone to come in. You know, I invite them in by name, you know, or whatever. I don't want somebody just popping in.
Yes. Well, kind of like our last investigation, I think we went through great lengths to try to validate who it actually was.
Exactly.
You know, there really is no for sure way to know who you are in touch with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to laugh at one of the listeners in the chat room. We were talking about, you know, it could be a telemarketer or whatever, and she said, they said, or the Jamaican scammer that keeps calling me since last year. I just wonder if he's from Microsoft or whatever. That's who keeps calling us. I don't know.
Oh, man. My assistant administrator, today we were talking, just, you know, BSing in the office for a couple of minutes, and he literally did get a call, he said, from this person. It said that they were from the IRS.
I got one the other day.
Where they wanted you to get $7,000, you just had to pay them $50?
No, I hung up on them. No, I knew it was a scam, so I just hung up on them.
Yeah, I mean, the IRS will never call you. They'll just show up
neither
at your door.
Microsoft, so.
But yeah, I would have said, well, sure, you can just take the 50 out of the $7,000 you're going to send me. Not
exactly.
Giving you nothing. You send me a check.
I don't know. There's so many of them going around right now. I don't talk to any of them. I just, even if I see it's, on my caller ID saying who it's from, if it's something that I recognize, and I don't want to talk to them, I just answer and hang right back up again. I don't even say anything because I don't want it on my answering machine, first of all, because I have to listen to all my messages before I can delete it.
Mm-hmm.
So I stop them I nip it in the bud, like Barney says.
Oh, well, and that's one of the questions I'm really, really looking forward to asking Karen tonight is how does she validate who she's in touch with? Or is she using the board in combination with, natural abilities?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I don't know if she's a medium or not.
But this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah.
I'm excited. My mind is already awash with ideas and questions.
I'm sure. So you've had a good week?
Man, I have. I did. I had a great weekend. I was at drill and playing army. We got to fire some brass down range and got to do some shoot and move drills with some students from some of the other units. Oh, it was a blast. Got to do some alert training, like active shooter. How do you move through a location if you have an active shooter and keep your sight picture?
Yeah.
So I'm feeling pretty deadly today.
Wow. Well, we went to a powwow Saturday down in Moulton. My grandson and I always go down there every year, and that's one of our things we do together, that and antiquing. And then his mom and stepdad and sister came down, and little brother, so they joined us later on. So we all had a good time.
I have to laugh. One of our listeners in the chat room was talking about one of these scammers that called and said, he tried to even disguise himself as a woman. Oh, I believe we have Karen in the chat room with us already.
Yeah. Let's see.
So it looks like it's going to be a good night.
I think so. It should be fun.
But how do you know when there's going to be a powwow? I mean, this is where they put the full garb on and they do the traditional dances.
Well, we've been going to powwows since my youngest daughter was probably 10. I just Google the powwow calendar and find out where they are locally. It'll give it state by state. And there's several different calendars that you can go to because not all of them post on the same one. But I know several people that go to this one, and it's down Oakville Mounds in Moulton. And then there's another one at Smith Lake that we go to every year. And they used to have one down at Ditto Landing, but they've stopped doing that one now. And they had one at over here by Decatur at the marina several years, but they stopped doing that one also. But the one in Coleman and the one in Moulton are regular events that we go to. And Gunnersville has a huge one every spring, but I haven't gone to that one yet.
Mm. I'd like to go to one. I have not been to one in, oh boy, it's been years since Arizona.
Yeah, when I lived in Oklahoma, I used to go to them quite often, and I've been to a couple up in Nashville. Those are really big ones up there, too. And, you know, they have full regalia and everything. So it's pretty neat. But the grandkids get out there. Well, my daughter always danced, you know, in the circle. And my grandkids get out there and dance. And everybody has a good time. I'm getting too old for that.
No, you're not.
Oh, man. I don't know. But yeah, it's fun. And then like the week and before that, I was at, golly, I went to Oktoberfest and James Clements Carnival that they had, the softball tournament. Well, it was a fundraiser for the softball team. And then went to Dreammaker for their event that they had there. So that was a busy day last Saturday. This Saturday before, should say. So every Saturday's been just really busy for me, and been working on my mother-in-law's house, you know, trying to get it fixed up. We're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with that, thank goodness. So it will be fun to get all that finished. But this week's the big yard sale, moving sale.
Oh, Friday, yeah. Saturday, what so. Time?
So if the weather holds out, which I'm hoping for, get all this stuff moved out and sold and get a few extra pennies to put into the house over there and
well,
see how that goes.
Well, the weather is supposed to be great. I mean, it is literally supposed to be cool and in cold this weekend. So,
well, they were talking about 50% chance of rain on Saturday, and I'm hoping that's wrong.
Yeah, yes, it is. Because that's when the tour is.
Well, yeah.
So they're not going to rain out our tours.
Well, put it off for a while. Put the rain off for a while, not the tour. Put the rain off for a while.
Hey, we have a covenant with God. You know, we have a covenant. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, Saturday it was raining off and on, and I got west of Decatur, and it was clear. It just cleared up, and then when we got to the powwow, it got a little overcast and whatnot. But one of the vendors had a rain stick and a thunder gourd, and she was messing with both of them. She said, I'm keeping the weather away, and it worked. It really did. And then when we were leaving, then we got back towards Decatur and more rain again. So it was so funny. She said, I'm just trying to keep it all at bay.
And she did.
She did.
I'll be damned.
I thought, shoot, I'm going to go back and get one of those.
Yeah, well, you get them when you exit through the gift shop.
Exactly.
Well, Molly, I think we're going to take our first news break, and then when we come back, we should be joined by Karen.
Yay!
So, me too. But everybody, just stick with us. We'll be right back, and when we come back, we will be joined by Karen Dahlman, the Ouija-ologist. So, everybody, just stick with us, and we'll be right back after this break.
News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Concern about China's slowing economy sending the Dow down 313, that's 1.9%. The NASDAQ off 3%, down 143. The S&P 500 off 50, and now officially in correction mode, off 11.7% from its record high close in May. Ukraine and Russia's troop buildup in Syria on their agenda. President Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin now meeting in New York City. Their first formal sit-down in more than 2 years. New York, where the UN General Assembly is underway. Iran's leader had a message about terrorism. Fox Radio's Grinnell Scott has that story live.
Jane, Hassan Rouhani told the UN General Assembly through an interpreter that Iran will contribute to stopping state-sponsored terrorism, but he also took aim at the U.S. and its world coalition for misinterpreting Iran's nuclear intentions, saying He believes weapons threats from his nation were formulated
on elusive and baseless allegations and created difficult conditions for our people.
Rouhani says U.S.-led invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan helped enable terrorists to justify their crimes against humanity, Jane.
Thanks, Grinnell. House Speaker John Boehner announced Friday he's stepping down at the end of next month. Today, the current House Majority Leader announcing he'd like the job. Fox Radio's Jared Halpern, live from Washington.
Kevin McCarthy has been considered an early frontrunner to replace House Speaker John Boehner. Now the California Republican, currently the GOP leader in the House, has made his bid official in a letter to colleagues. He notes differences that exist among Republicans, but writes the People's House works best when the leadership you elect listens to members. Boehner announced his retirement last week, a move coming amid growing frustration from House conservatives. Florida Republican Daniel Webster has also said he'll run for Speaker.
Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Afghan official says the northern city of Kunduz has fallen back into the hands of the Taliban. It's the first major city seized by insurgents since the U.S.-led invasion back in 2001, and it is a major setback for Afghan government troops. The medical charity Doctors Without Borders says it has treated more than 100 wounded. Prosecutors in Germany are now looking into the emissions test cheating scandal at Volkswagen.
The prosecutor's office said it will investigate allegations that VW cars were sold with manipulated emissions data. The focus will be on finding out who was responsible for a number of criminal complaints relating to emissions tests. The car company has already admitted to cheating on tests in the US. It has since suspended three top engineers. Former CEO Martin Winterkorn has denied any wrongdoing, saying he resigned last week in the interests of the company. The investigation is expected to take at least several months.
Fox News Radio's Kitty Logan. Apple breaks a sales record.
The maker of the new iPhone 6S and 6S Plus indeed said it sold more than 13 million new phones in the first 72 hours. And this was a healthy beat of the 12 million Wall Street analysts were expecting. Apple CEO Tim Cook said the results were, quote, phenomenal.
Joe Lynn Kent with Fox Business Network. The new phones immediately offered for sale in China, and that didn't hurt. After more than four decades on the road,
you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away.
Saying he regrets not spending a lot of time with his older sons, Kenny Rogers, folding up the touring tent because he wants to spend more time with his wife and two young sons. The 77-year-old is touring to support a new Christmas album. We'll do one last world tour next year. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making home affordable. A free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
welcome back, everybody. You are listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And joining us for the rest of the show, we've got Karen Dahlman, as promised. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Molly. Hi, everybody. Hi. Glad to be here.
Great. Glad to have you.
Boy,
you.
Are we.
We're all looking forward to this.
Oh, goody. Yeah, it's fun to talk
question.
About with you.
So, I'm just going to jump right in, if that's okay. We geologists, this is the first that I've heard of this term. Tell us a little bit about what got you started and what exactly is it that you do?
Well, I kind of fell into this whole thing, needless to say, but it became such an adventure and exciting tool to learn all about the afterlife for me in the beginning. So it started when I was a pretty young child. I was the age of 8. It was 1973, and I was just playing with some friends down the street. They pulled out this board game. They said, we're going to play this game. And I thought, well, what do you mean play this game? And they started using a Ouija board, and I really didn't know much about what that was. And they showed me that if you put your hands on the planchette, and for those listening, I think most people know what the Ouija board is, but the planchette is that piece, the movable piece that goes on top that supposedly moves around with the help of the spirits and spells out the messages. So they put their hands on the planchette and it moved around, and I thought, oh, this is stupid, they're pushing it, you know, this is dumb. They said, no, we're gonna show you something. So they started talking to their dead sister. Now, I didn't know the girls even had a dead sister. I didn't know the elder girl that was there. She was 10. Her twin died shortly after birth, and this twin, supposedly, according to them, they were in communication with it and had been for some time. And so I said, well, let me try. And so I put my hands on there, and I knew I was not going to push it. I didn't think it would move. I thought there's no way this could move, and it started moving. So immediately, I really thought one of the other girls was pushing it. Mm-hmm. So they swore they weren't, and I just thought, okay, I'm going to have to just trust that. But you could feel it pull. There was a pulling sensation as opposed to just being on top of your finger, sitting on the planchette. It actually pulled around, and I could tell she was having a hard time, the other girl doing the board with me, keeping her fingers on the planchette as well. So it worked really well from the get-go. I was super excited. I thought, this is groundbreaking news, because this means everything I've been learning in church, that there is an afterlife, and we do continue on. Spirits do exist. So I ran home and told my parents this exciting revolutionary news that we could talk to the dead, and I've been doing it. And they just thought, wink, wink, yeah, right. I said, well, I would like a Ouija board for Christmas. I'm going to ask Santa Claus for one. And so that's how it all got started. The two girls down the street, I got my board for Christmas in 1973, and been using it ever since. And the reason why is because it always has worked very, very well for me. And at even younger ages, I was able to see spirits, see different lights. I could see auras, all kinds of interesting psychic phenomena stuff kind of around me. I'm not a medium. I'm not a psychic, but I would say I'm an intuitive. Mm-hmm. So I really, to be able to kind of start explaining some of these beings that would come to me in my room at night or communicate with me through at different times through my ages, I was able to begin to reach to them and more and more communicative ways through the board. And so it became a tool that just worked over the years very, very well for me. And it's taken me to some real far reaching possibilities of communication. And we can talk about all the different beings that I've spoken to over the years, if you'd like, as well.
Sure. So you use this in combination with what gifts you have?
Well, when you say gifts, I didn't realize there were gifts when I was little. I thought everybody could see auras and everybody could mm-hmm. see these spirits or imaginary playmates or those kinds of things. It was when I got a little older, I realized that not everybody could. I never considered them gifts, but I realized I really believe these are abilities that most people, almost everybody has on some level. I think what's happened for me over the years, yes, I was born with some, but what happens over the years is all the spiritual work I've done on work on myself, including using the board as well. I don't consider that Ouija board a necessary spiritual tool. It's nothing more than a tool, but it has opened up some spiritual realms for me, and therefore my abilities of intuitiveness and empathic skills have really increased, and the communications have grown to a level of just profound level of communications. What's happened through using this tool, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, would you say the Ouija board is similar, like you would use that, like you would a pendulum or table tipping? Would it be similar to that, or?
Yeah, I heard you talk about the pendulum earlier. Mm-hmm. Yes. The poor little Ouija gets the bad rap out of all the tools out there.
Because I know you do use a board. A lot of people use a board with that. Other ones don't. But we do table tipping quite often, too. So I was wondering if that was similar.
Yes, it is. In fact, I was exploring table tipping, back in the 80s when I was doing the board a lot as well then, and I was exploring them in tandem. I would do the table tipping along with the board and see if the messages were, if they would be different, or, of course, they come through differently because the table taps and it's long and laborious, where the board was starting to work real quickly for me with the spelling, so I prefer that tool. But a lot of people even use a pendulum over a Ouija board. Now, Ouija board, that is a name that is patented and trademarked with the U.S. Patent Office in 1891. It was granted. So that's like a saying we call old tissue Kleenex. So not old boards or Ouija boards. I prefer the old William Fold Ouija boards. That was the company that had them all the way up to 1966. And that's when they sold over to Parker Brothers. And now Hasbro owns Parker Brothers. So Parker Brothers, their division, Parker Brothers, they own the name Ouija board now, the patent and trademark on it. Yet there are many, many different types of talking boards. That's really the umbrella term, talking boards, or mm-hmm. spirit boards that are out there. And so some people have round ones, and I have one that was gifted to me from another person who creates boards, and it's a round circle about the size of a plate, and the letters go around in a circle, and the numbers go in the middle, and there's yes and no, hello, goodbye, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look at all like the Ouija, but you can use a pendulum over it because it's small enough the pendulum can move and spell. Now, I've messed around with pendulums. I've tried them. It's not a tool that I work the best with, so I don't prefer to practice that. When you work on these tools, as you guys know, when you use tools or any of these techniques, it can take years and years to really fine tune that craft. And so mine really has been the board for the most part. But yeah, people will use a pendulum instead of a planchette on the board. Mm-hmm. And many people reach out to me and tell me their stories about doing that. And any of these tools, when you're evoking or moving into other realms, there's always has the same inherent risk as well as abilities, far-reaching abilities as well to it. And me using a Ouija board is no different than somebody using a pendulum or tarot mm-hmm. cards. Or the throwing the I Ching or runes, and we're actually traversing the spirit realm, but also inviting them into our space to communicate. And that could just be through the energy field of the field you get when you read the cards. It could be through the way the runes are thrown and how they land. It could be the energy you use to pick a card for tarot. It's the same thing. So it's a lot of people struggle with the Ouija board, and I think it's a lot of the superstitions, we call them Ouija-stitions, they've heard about it. Because there's, people have experiences with them, but people have experiences without them too. So it just is the one that gets the bad rap out of all the tools out there.
Well, I was wondering why, everybody, you hear people talking about, table tipping and the pendulum quite often, and no one seems to have a problem using those, but when you talk about a Ouija board, they're going, oh no, you need to leave that alone.
Right.
And why does that have such a bad reputation over the others?
Well,
aren't you still calling in the same thing unless you specifically give it a name?
Yeah, Molly, you bring up a great point. You are calling in the same thing. You're working in the same energetic field. Mm-hmm. Ouija board has a really unique, cool history, and it was originally made in the United States, and then Canada had a patent, and they started making it shortly after we were making it, and now it's made just all around the world, different types of talking boards. But in the United States, this tool was used a lot. It became a household item. Everybody had them in their attics and closets back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And to this day, people are still going, ah, this is old aunt, great grandmother so-and-so, or Aunt Edna's Ouija board I've got and afraid to touch it. There's such a folklore around it because it is this American pop icon. It's in our psyche, our collective psyche of America. And it was used to communicate with the dead. And quite successfully. And it was used to communicate with a lot of different things. Maybe people didn't know what they were talking to. But people love to be scared. People love to have that adrenaline rush. And you always talk about Halloween and witches. You always associate a Ouija board with those things as well. Where the Ouija board was truly a tool. It was actually considered a game, a parlor game. They'd bring it out and they'd sit around it, and they might ask, who's here? Can we speak to the spirits? You know, they just kind of did that, and it was just fun. And then it would work sometimes it didn't. But what happened with some of the wars we had, especially after the Civil War and then World War One, the rise in World War II as well, the rise of this tool just increased incredibly because people now didn't necessarily have the money to go to a psychic or go to seances or these big revivals. Instead, they could just pull it out of the box. So they have like basically a seance in a box. You open it up and it was relatively inexpensive and you could be entertained for hours and then hopefully make contact with your dead loved ones that you might have lost in war.
That makes sense because I would want to. I absolutely would want to. If I lost a family member or if I lost a husband or a wife in the war, then I. You're right.
So it really gained in popularity. Along with that, though, too, people are using it, the stories start happening. And so if something bad, misfortunate happens in somebody's house and they got a Ouija board there, that's the first thing people say, oh, I got to burn the Ouija board.
Yes.
And so they attribute their troubles to it. Now, this is not to discount anybody's experiences because I know people have many experiences. I've heard them. They write to me. I reach out to them and listen to them and never to discount their experiences. But there's ways to go about any kind of tool where you traverse into spiritual realms and how to use it in a way that you will be safe, protected, healthy, happy, and maybe wiser because of it. There doesn't need to be this negativity or this negative stigma associated with it. With any of these tools, if you can learn to use it in a respectful way, basically.
Well, that leads me to my question, Karen, that I was asking before we brought you on. How do we know that we're literally in touch with who they say they are?
Well, listen, I write articles about this and I post them on my website. People ask me, can you trust the accuracy of the messages? You know, can you trust the messenger? And I say, you know, it's tough. It really is tough in the beginning, especially when you're new to this tool, because you're excited. The planchette's moving. You're getting messages and they're coherent. And maybe you're getting one word or two word and it starts becoming a sentence. You really don't know. And you don't know for some time. I mean, I've been doing this now. I'm in my 42nd year of using the board, and there was really nobody out there talking about this. There was no internet, of course, in 73, and when I was using it in some of the heyday time of the 80s, we didn't have the internet either. I was just doing this all on my own. There was not too much books out there on Ouija except for some negative stuff, and I never had those negative experiences. So I really had to just kind of go through this trial and error myself, and I have learned how to traverse some of that and learn how, when you know who you're speaking to is who you're speaking to. So I say anytime you get on a board, never trust the message that comes through as 100%. Just take it, mull it around, and see how it feels to you. I use my own internal guidance to tell me, does this feel right? Now, having said that, I have beings on the board. I say beings because they're ethereal beings. They've never been incarnated in physical form. I've been communicating with this group since 1994. There's several of them. And then before that, I got in touch with my higher self using the Ouija board, and that was in 89. And before that, I spoke to mostly discarnate spirits, spirits who were in human form. And then as I progressed through it and my levels of protection and prayer and the energy I used and the energy I was changing within myself, it shifted the types of contacts and communications I had and shifted the types of beings that could actually communicate with me. In other words, as I raised my energy, my vibration doing my own spiritual work, it attracted a whole another pantheon, if you will, of ethereal beings. So I kind of worked from dead people up through the angels, the guardians, to the ethereal beings, to source. And along the way, I started talking to my higher self, which I mentioned. And that was just quite phenomenal to get these messages from, you know, you're talking to yourself, but it's a part of you that's not just in this body. It's actually the part of you that's part of a larger being of light that has such great wisdom and knows its connection back to source. And when you start moving in those realms, and I use this where this is mostly where I stay now with this tools in these realms, the wisdom that comes through is just incredible. But I can trust those messages now, because again, since 89, I've been talking to my higher self that's never led me astray. I can trust the messages I get from my ethereal beings because they've been with me since 94, and all their messages have been accurate and nothing but loving and supportive. They never, when you get to a level of the beings like this, they tell you what to do. I really would be real weary and leery of talking to some of the deceased beings who, especially in haunted places, that are stuck, that are earthbound, because those will... they can't be trickster, and this is, I think, what causes a lot of the havoc and problems people have experienced with the board and some mm-hmm. of the more negative messages for those reasons.
We had someone in the chat room that asked if they should smudge their board after each session or before use.
You know, that's a great idea. You can. This is what I tell people. I say, what works for you? If you were going to sit into a meditation, or you were going to sit still and just, you know, have a, maybe imagine communicating with a dead loved one, how would you get yourself in that space? And if that means surrounding yourself with crystals, if it means smudging your board, if it means lighting a candle, if it means taking a shower, saying a prayer beforehand, all those things will work, because truly what allows this communication to work is your own energetic makeup. What allows us to work is your energy, your vibration to your body, your vibration to your thoughts, your feelings, your vibration to your whole psychological makeup too. And if smudging the board works, I think that's fabulous. Now, when I am more into... like, let's say somebody comes to me and says, I need to speak with somebody who's died, and I want to talk to this loved one, and I'm willing to do that, I will do it a little differently, because I don't know exactly who I'm going to get. So I will go into some ceremonial practices, such as smudging. I always light candles. That's just a natural thing I do. It allows me, for myself, to move into the space. But I will do the sage stick. I will do that. I will say prayers. I will I'll just reinforce my energy, so when I'm going into the realm and connecting with these other spirits that are deceased, that will get the best. I'll get their best energy, and they'll get my best energy, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle, and that really helps.
Well, we have our first caller, Karen. Would you like to take a caller?
Would love to. Great.
Well, hello, caller. You're on The Buzz with Karen Dahlman.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Doing
hello.
Well.
Great. What's your name?
Yeah. This is Carla, also known as Al.
Hi, Carla.
Hi. We're talking about the Ouija board today, and I just did a session yesterday. You know, we had that eclipse,
mm-hmm.
and it was a very powerful session, and I kept getting my spirit guide or someone telling me to get in touch with my higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is going to be the next step that I'm going to do, but I just want to know, how do you get in touch with your higher self? I mean, I know how to get in touch with my spirit guides, but how do you get in touch with your higher self?
Great question, Carla, and I highly recommend you do, especially you're getting that message now. And I tell people, I say, before you get on the board and just start messing around with any spirits, try to create you want to have like a network on the other side that you can start to rely on. It might be your dead grandmother that's there that wants to help you. It may be another loved one, but in this case, a foolproof, the best one always is your higher self. They have nothing but your best interests at heart. The higher self, to tap into the higher self, by the way, your higher self is always connected to you. We're not always connected to our higher selves. I call it plugging in. You pretty much have to take your socket and plug it into the outlet of the higher self. It's always around us, but we don't listen to it. And so this requires really fine-tuning your energy to be in touch with your higher self. It requires you, number one, first to say, I ask that my divine wise part of myself come through. I want to be in connection with that part of myself. I ask that you give me the best interest that you have, the best interest at your heart for me, which it does, but you just state that because you're stating it in the energetic field, and that it loves me and it has nothing but positive things to tell me. If you ever get anything negative from your higher self, it's not your higher self. Your higher self will come through and always say beautiful, incredible, uplifting statements and comments, and just nothing but support for you to be the best you can be. And so it's a process. The process of stating those statements out loud, then making those intentions, then sitting down at your board and then saying, I want to speak to my higher self. Higher self, please come through. I am listening. And it will typically, it'll start coming through a little slow at first, because it's not a usual entity or energy you're used to talking to. And then it'll start coming through more and more. And what I find, once you start talking and communicating with your higher self, it'll come to you more in dreams. You'll feel this presence throughout the day. You'll feel it. You'll know it in like your journaling. If you're doing any kind of journaling or any kind of connective work, okay, where you're doing contemplative work, you'll find this being start talking to you. And so those are some basic ways. There's a lot more techniques. In fact, my third book, The Spirit of Alchemy, talks a lot about being in touch with your higher self and allowing those messages to come through. You don't need a board to do this, people. I'm not necessarily telling you to go get a board, but our caller, Carla, has a board, and that's how she's trying to do it.
Yeah, ahead, well, Carla. I will, get that. I'll get this transcribed to you and you can read it. But it's very amazing. It seems like that they're telling me I'm getting better with this and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they just keep telling me to meditate. And they just, they've been telling me, past couple sessions I did one a week ago. They keep telling me, get in touch with your higher self. But I'm like, I don't know how to do that. They tell me, meditate. But I guess you can use the board for that, right?
Yes. And this, thank you for saying that, Carla. I use meditation every day. And that's part of my spiritual practice. It's outside of the board. But the more I meditate, the easier it is for your higher self to come through. So yes, get into practice of even 5 or 10 minutes a day. I do 25 to 30, but I worked up to that. Try 5 or 10 minutes of just private time. I know we can't totally clear our thoughts out of our mind, but when they go away, bring them back and just focus on your breathing for those 5 or 10 minutes. Focus on how it feels to take the air in and how to release the air out. That allows you to relax. And then you may hear a word, you may get a feeling, you may get a sensation, and just let that happen. And then you can go to your
board. Shivers.
Oh, nice.
I get shivers.
Energy moving around in your body. I'm sure it is. You get a physical sensation. It's typically you're shifting the energy around. And this is always positive. So, yes, Carla, go in the direction of having your higher self communication. And this board work you have will take off to a whole nother level. Trust me on that. I was amazed in 89 when that happened for me. And then since then, I don't even look back. I rather focus on that realm. And the messages there are just out of control. They're profound.
Okay, I got one more question, and then I will leave you alone. Is it common when you're using the board, as soon as you ask a question, is it common for, the word to pop in your mind and then spell out on the board?
Yes, that does happen. And I've seen people just touch a letter on the board with their planchette or their finger, and they'll have the whole message. I've really refrained from that, and I'll tell you why. If you want to have more lengthy communications on the board, like sentences, I get pages and pages, and you know that I don't just get words. I get paragraphs, and they go on for minutes and minutes, and then I transcribe them. What I found is if I allow the board to spell it as opposed to me guessing the word or saying it before it comes, what happens is my spirit friends on the other side learn to use the board and spell. So it depends what you want. Part of doing this tool, which I mentioned in the beginning, is, and Carly, you'll find this, is that when you use this tool in a positive light like this, as you use any other kinds of tools of this nature, you start to develop these other faculties, this other sixth sense, if you will, inside yourself. And you start to develop the clairaudient, clairvoyance, clairsentient, all these clair abilities, and that is one of them. And yes, I will receive the words, and if I have a session that I have to shorten, I will say the words instead and just say them out loud, as opposed to letting them spell it, because I'm hearing them in my head too. But if you want to get the board to work better for you, do give them the space and time to spell out each word. And sometimes you think you're thinking a word, and it will go in another direction too. And so that's why I try not to do too much guessing.
Yeah, that happened to me quite a few times, you know, but it was just like the word would pop in my mind, but I'm like, okay, just don't go ahead and spell it on the board, you know?
Good. Good for you. Yeah, that's how you fine-tune this tool, and then you'll be surprised, because I think they're going to say one thing, and then it turns out they went a whole different direction with it, and I much prefer the direction they went with it. It was a different way of speaking than I would have ever spoke, so then you start getting validation in other ways of the message that way, too.
Yeah, basically learning how to flow and not resist.
Yes.
That's the thought that comes to my head, too. But
very
anyway,
good.
Thank you so much for answering these questions. I'm going to continue to listen to the show.
Well,
thanks,
thank
Carl.
You.
Thanks for calling us. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Carla.
Bye.
Now, she brought up a good point, Karen. How can we be sure that this is a genuine message and not just simply our own subconscious?
Yeah, and so, okay, you're right. You don't know. Look, I'm talking to my higher self. That kind of is like my superconscious, my sub and my superconscious talking to me, okay? This is what I think. I'm not so worried much anymore about where is this coming from, other than I know it's of a good nature and a good source for me at this point where I am. Beginners, I say, yes, be very aware where this information is coming from. But I can't separate, okay, this is where you go into like the wormhole stuff. This is where you get pretty esoteric. We really can't separate ourselves from, we're all vibrating energy. So therefore we're all really not solid. We really can't separate ourselves from the spirits, as they their energy vibrates too. What separates us is what separates us is the frequency, the resonance of our vibration. So theirs vibrates at a very, just off by a little bit, and as ours is off from theirs, that's why we can't see them all the time. And once in a while when the vibration match, we can see them. We're really not separate. I'm really not separate from a higher self, and my higher self is really not separate from source. Everything comes from source. God, the Tao, whatever people want to call that, all that is, the great matrix, everything comes from that. So therefore everything is connected at some level. So this is how you can use this tool and talk to all these different consciousness, because we really aren't disconnected from them, these different consciousness. So I consider and tell you my angel is separate, my higher self is separate, these dead people are separate, and yes, in our reality, in this reality in which we exist, we have the illusion of separateness, and yes, in that sense, they are separate. But in the other realms, when you move into these other realms, we're not separate, and everything affects each other. So I can't really separate from if this is part of me I'm talking to. I do believe that part of me is connected to all these spiritual, ethereal beings. Even to the dead people, I'm somehow reaching into their consciousness, they're reaching into mine, and we're connecting on some level to make these communications happen. So it gets really tricky and kind of hard to explain, because it is very esoteric.
Well, I mean, we've had a lot of guests here lately that have said a lot of the same things about the connectedness and how spirit beings are all connected to each other and connect to us and work in and through us. Molly, you remember Rocky?
Yes.
And he said a lot of the same things. Ernesto Ortiz talked about the connectedness to the universe. So, you know, it makes sense. So this, the board, once you've used it and you've learned and you've educated yourself in the proper use, it's almost as if you're transcending time.
You're transcending time and space. And in fact, those don't exist when you start going into these other realms.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I know. It's I say it like this. I do call it my great cosmic phone. I just dial up the frequency. And I can, every time I get on a board, it doesn't matter what board I use, doesn't matter if it's a piece of paper scribbled with letters and numbers on it, or if somebody gives me a board that they own, I never even used it before, my spirit guides, these ethereal beings and my higher self will always come through. I just need to call upon them. That's it. The connection's been established. I've already dialed into their frequency. In fact, they come to me in journaling, my writings, you can call that automatic writing, I guess. They come to me in my meditations, they come to me in my dreams, as I was explaining to Carla. Once you start making these connections, you can fine-tune them so the communication becomes clearer. Now, having said that, when you work with the deceased and those that are, I'm not talking about your loved ones that had nothing but would love you and good things to say to you. I'm talking about the ones that might be angry and pissed off and bitter, bitter spirits, because they were that way in life and they died and they're still the same. Those are the ones unfortunately, that's where beginners start, because those are the easiest energies to reach. They're still tied to this density. they didn't want to die, or they don't know they're dead, and so they're still the easiest beings to reach. This is where it's tricky, and this is where Ouija does get part of its bad name too. And for that matter, any kind of people that can read on these lower levels, they've got to be really careful. So that a lot of those have really honed their spiritual people have really honed and their energy so that they can traverse through that.
Right.
And a lot of times on the Ouija board, people aren't prepared for that because they maybe don't have some kind of spiritual practice or fine tuning in place. I always tell people, too, if they're going to use this tool, to work on themselves. First and foremost, know thyself. Meaning, if you've got a lot of unresolved issues, get into therapy. If you need to Reiki, practice healing work, light work, meditation. You know, get yoga. Do things that allow you to get centered in your body. Work on this level. Oh. You have your basis. You know yourself. Know yourself internally, and then you have a better chance, in this case, a really high chance of knowing if the message is just bogus. You play it up against your inner wisdom, and you let your inner wisdom tell you. But it's easy in the beginning to pull in those tricksters, because that energy is the lower frequency. You don't have to really fine tune too much, and the ones that come through and can be just mischievous and silly and stupid and say dumb things and things that aren't real. And so and if we approach the board in this mocking, jovial manner, the energy is less, and that less energy attracts less energy. So to talk to your higher self, to go a little further with Carly, it's really about your own energetic makeup. Can you promote your energy to be the highest it can be and to pull in these higher frequencies that can actually communicate? Because the higher self is always with you, but the higher self can't always come through because it is such a subtle voice. Oh, my goodness. Where the deceased people that are stuck, their voices are very loud like this. The higher self is like this whispering to you. It's just, and that's how it is in my head as well. And that's even how it can be on the board. But once you make that connection, you'll never disconnect that with your higher self once you make it. So it just takes time and perseverance.
Well, you've had 40 years of it.
Yeah, I know. So, 42 years. I know. It's a lot of time, isn't it?
So would you say that reaching your higher self was kind of a gradual, you know, you graduated through steps and through levels to get to this point?
I did, but I didn't know it was possible. See, there was nothing out there talking about these things back in the 70s, and it was 89 when I stumbled upon this. All this, by the way, is in my book, The Spirits of Ouija, and all this is documented in there, and I kept copious notes throughout all the years, questions I asked, the answers I received, I still do, and so everything in there is verbatim as the sessions happened. So when I was starting to really get some great communications with the deceased. And then I thought to myself, I'm doing all this light work. Outside of this, I was studying to become a psychotherapist, and I did practice psychotherapy while I was talking to my higher self. But I was very interested in learning to work with light energy. I was studying a lot of light practices, how to use the light, healing light. I was doing past life regressions and learning to be a hypnotherapist myself, and began doing those with clients, past life regressions, all kinds of really cool stuff. So I already knew about how to work with your imaginal faculties, such as imagining the light within the white light. And I thought, well, why don't I just take this energy and start talking to, you know, like in past lives, we can speak to angels. And mm-hmm. Why don't I just start doing that? So I started talking to angels, and the angels started coming through. And then at that point, I said, why don't I just talk to this greater wisdom of myself? I mean, everything, you're pushing the board anyway, or they think you're talking to yourself. I said, why don't I just really go ahead and do that? And when I did, I was amazed. So I kind of stumbled upon it because I just kind of worked through these different steps. But nobody's out there telling you could do these things. I thought it was the tool was only used to talk to the deceased. And then I said, I'm going to push this as far as I can. And then I started talking to animals, you know, animals that were alive, animals that were dead. I still do to this day. And then just when I started working with these finer energies, then I started stumbling upon these other spirit beings that started coming to me. They said, you know, we've been waiting, and we've been waiting here to talk to you, and now we're ready. Now you're ready. The energy's right. And so they just came through and started communicating, and it just goes on and on from there.
So let me roll you back just a little bit. You said that you have learned to speak to animals as well?
Yeah. You know, like animal communicators do it. I know people say, oh, that's weird on a Ouija board. Why? Animal communicators talk to animals all the time. So yes, this is what happened. This is really a cool story, Kevin and Molly, and for your listeners in the chat room. I was talking to my angel, and this was in 1994 as well. And I was talking to her on the board with my partner. And all of a sudden, my angel said, Karen, you're not going to believe this, but somebody here wants to talk to you. And I said, okay, bring them on. I was used to spirits coming through and just saying hello or asking a question or needing something. That was just common. And she, by the way, at that time, Mary Angel was my moderator, my bouncer on the other side. She was the group of beings I was telling you about to have on your side that help you. She was my helper. And so she said, okay, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to bring them on. The planchette, which is the piece that moves around the board that spells, it changed the way it was moving. It slowed down. It even changed directions. And it spelled out, Hermie Cat, I love you. Now, I have a cat at that time named Hermes, not Hermie, but Hermes, like Hermes Trismegistus. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting there in the rocking chair. He'd love to sit in the chair when I was doing the board, and he'd watch my partner and I was sitting there staring at me. I said, Mary Angel is my angel. I said, did my cat just talk to me? She goes, yes. I knew you weren't going to believe it, but yes. You can talk to the animals, and Hermes wanted to come through and say hello. Although he knows
that
he
is
talks
cool.
To you, just, isn't that cool? Although he knows he talks to you because you look in his eyes and he looks at you and you have this bond, he wanted to come through and talk. And so she said, I helped him. I helped him come through. And so when that happened, I went, oh, goodness, here we go on another tangent. So then I started talking to my other cat. I had two cats at the time and talked to him. He was alive. Then when they died, I talked to them after they passed on. Then I started talking to other people's pets, dead and alive. And then I have three cats now. These are all new cats. And well, not new, but new since back then. That was in 94. These cats all talk to me all the time. They can't wait to get on. And they usually every session, somebody wants to jump in and just tell me something or and they just jump right in and they say, and sometimes they go, I don't want to talk at all, but they'll tell me little cute things. And by the way, I do write about, give examples of this in my book, The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication, how to do that as well. But basically, would you like me to share how that happens, how the communication
sure.
to animals? Okay,
mm-hmm. sure.
I find this really, really fascinating as I was talking about the energies matching. So this is what they've explained to me. And so I have a group of beings. They're a collective group of soul beings. I call them the moon only because they enter the Ouija board where the picture of the moon is. These ethereal beings. Yeah. So I named them. They don't have names. They're androgynous. They don't have names. They've never been in a human body. They're just beings of source. They're light beings. They're just pure light. And they communicate on more of a telepathic way, but through the board, I met them through the board, and they still work with me through the board to this day. And so what happens is that group, I usually call her a she, the moon, but it's really a group of them. They will work with the energy of the animal. Let's say it's my cat. And what they'll do is they'll go tap it to the cat, reach into his energy and find out what it is he might have to say. They'll say, your mother, Karen, wants to talk to you. and they'll say, oh, we don't want to talk right now, or okay. And then what they do is they translate the energy of the cat. So the cat has feelings. It's more, they communicate more through, it's instinctual, of course, but they communicate more through feelings. And you know when you can look at a cat or a dog, your pet, you can feel them. They feel you. They're very responsive to feelings and energies. So they speak more through the vibrations and through feelings and through images. And a lot of animal communicators talk with the animals through images. They get images and they give them images. And so what the beings do, they work with the animal. They get their images they have in their head. They ask them the question in images. They get it. They translate it now and put it into words. So what they do is they give me the best words that match basically what the cat is feeling and thinking and imaging, and they put it into words so I can understand it. So it's like a translation process, and you need your helpers to help you do that. And then the animals are just, they have no problem coming through. No problem at all when we use this technique.
That's
cool.
Yeah. It's a translator.
You. Yeah. Animal communicator from the other side even.
That is awesome. You know, I've never thought about that.
Well, I started asking around. You know, I've really been working in a closet, not literally, but I've been working alone with this tool. Mostly my friends and family knew about it over the years, and in college they knew I was doing it. And no, I just I didn't bring this into my therapy practice. That was not appropriate. It was my hobby, and I was exploring a lot of things. And it was in 2012. when I got my first book published, like I decided to come out and, you know, right away and land on Coast to Coast. The first show I did, I was like, that's amazing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm
talking about, that's an honor.
Well, it's definitely an honor. And I was talking about these things and people were like, what? And they wanted more because most people heard mostly negative or just neutral stuff. I didn't know people didn't know how to talk to their animals on the board. But since then, people have been reaching out to me now and are trying these techniques. And some people wrote to me and said, yeah, I've done that before. I talked to my animal. It came through just kind of serendipitously. I don't believe in serendipity. I really believe in synchronicity, but that's okay. It came to them. They stumbled upon it and they were amazed too and didn't know what to make of it. So people are now exploring that. And that's a real safe thing to explore too on the board. If you can get in touch with your higher self or an angel. Everybody has guardians, angels. Everybody has these spirit guides, these beings out there that just love us unconditionally to no end. And they're waiting in the wings for us. And if we reach out and call upon, they'll come to us. I just happen to use the board really well, so I do it that way. You can do it without the board. But if you did use the board and you're interested in it, I would call upon your angels and guides to come through. Try to skip and not have to go through all the lower astral realms. And then once you have those guides in place, they can help you talk to some of the deceased people you may need to. But they will be the ones that can help you talk to the animals. It's really quite fascinating. In fact, I'll tell you this. I'll share this with you. This may sound silly and strange to you, but I'm going to share it anyway. One of my cats is writing a book through the board.
With the help. Cool.
That is a cool idea.
Is that like the cat diary?
He goes, I'm an author. And I said, you are? He goes, yeah, I'm www.jack.com. That's his name is Jack. I said, Jack, what is this? He goes, that's for my book. I'm gonna have a website. And he said, I want to write a book. And so he's been telling me his story, been writing it down. And he's asked me, he said, well, but you've got to help me. I'm going to need your help. And I said, I know, because you can't go in the public and talk about it, can you? So it's just, I have to laugh. It almost sounds crazy. And at times I go, what is this? But this is what's happening. And this is my experience. And I'm just, you know, I'm happy to have an opportunity to share it here with you and your listeners. Because it really is quite amazing, and I just want people to know there's so many possibilities out there. And sometimes when we're just afraid of something, or we get a stigma, or hear something negative about something, it's really not. Maybe that's really not the case. And this is not about promoting Ouija use. It's really about, if you're going to use it, using it correctly. But it is about promoting how to be in touch with these greater beings that are surrounding you with love, and you're never alone, and they're here to help you. And so I just learned to tap into them through the board.
This is incredible, because, you know, personally, I'll speak for me, and me and Molly was kind of talking about this off air. I've always been very hesitant and reluctant to use an Ouija board simply because of the negative stigma, and I'd never thought about all these possibilities that you just presented.
And that's for most people too. And so don't feel badly about that, Kevin, because that's what most people came to, you know, when the Exorcist came out. It came out in the book in 71 and 73. Get this. Okay. I get my first Ouija board for Christmas on December 25th, 1973. December 26th, 1973, the Exorcist movie came out.
Hello. Made everybody regret it.
Right? I was 8. My parents were going to let me watch that movie. I really didn't care to see it. Because nobody was out there talking bad about the board, there wasn't stuff really out there at this younger age, nobody was telling me bad stuff. Everybody just said, oh, it doesn't work. And that's all I heard. And I heard from a few parents of my friends that come over for sleepovers, well, don't do that board at Karen Dahlman's house. I said, okay, we'll play light as a feather, stiff as a board. We'll do something else instead.
Something else creepy.
We'll do something else that'll be fun. Well, I've always been in this realm of trying to understand what's out there because of my experiences seeing things. And so I was always telling my stories and asking questions, and my friends were curious. They thought this was interesting and would try with me over the years. But I stumbled upon these far-reaching abilities of this tool. I just kept pushing the boundaries, and the more I learned outside of the board, like again, all these courses I took in spirituality development, metaphysics, supernatural, paranormal. As I studied that, I realized we're probably not alone. There's too many accounts of other things out there. And I thought, I'm going to start talking to these other things that are out there, and by God, I'm going to use my board because I'm good at using this. And so I just kept pushing the boundaries. And again, I just came out in 2012. And so I'm sharing all this and just over, gosh, 2012, November, it's not even 3 years yet. And I've already written three books with the help of my spirit friends about these topics. And because I do want people to see that the universe is a vast place and there's so much in it we don't understand. And there's so much about consciousness that we don't understand. And I'm learning that as I use this tool. This tool is teaching me more things about consciousness and the human psyche than I think I could have ever learned in all my studies and practice as a psychotherapist, quite frankly. Yeah.
Well, you know, that movie Jumanji came out, I don't know what year, but, you know, that freaked everybody out, too. And it's like, you know, everything associated with Ouija boards was bad.
Yeah, right.
We're always calling in the dark side or, you know, it was never used for good.
I think people, that's what people thought it was. If you're talking to dead, it must be dark, must be bad, must be scary, must be spooky. And I just never thought that because I had beings that would come to me. I'd literally see with my physical eyes that weren't bad. I had some that were scary, but I had many that weren't. And I thought, why can't I talk to them on this? I mean, people tell me that was fake and I was making that up. I thought, people, my family, my parents. I thought, no, it's not. You know, this is real. And so that's just kind of the direction I went with it. So I didn't have anybody saying negative things. And if they did, I was already using this tool so much that I had such positive experiences and communications that it just, I just didn't listen to them. And that's just, so I got through all those stages where people today pick up the board. Oh, you're going to use that board? Oh my God, you're blasphemous. You're terrible. You're demonic. You're going to get possessed. You know,
that's just yes. So
rampant. It's so rampant on the internet. And so, and we love our stories. We love our folklore and mythologies, and it's exciting. And I just see it very differently because of my experiences have proved very differently for me.
Well, guys, why don't we do this? Why don't we go to our next news break? And then when we come back, I've got a couple of questions for you.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, I'd like to kind of get into the mechanics in and of itself of actually how to properly use a board.
Good one.
Okay, well, everybody, just stick with us. If you'd like to call in with questions or comments or a story of your own, that number is 262-672-2488. And stick with us. We'll be right back with The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. All right.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama is meeting today with Russian President Vladimir Putin as the two world leaders put forward very different strategies to resolve the conflict in Syria. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on their speeches to the UN General Assembly.
President Putin is calling for a broad coalition against ISIS and says the Syrian government must be part of it. He laid out his case through an interpreter.
We think it is an enormous mistake to refuse to cooperate with the Syrian government and its armed forces who are valiantly fighting terrorism face to face.
Russia has been beefing up its support for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and sharing intelligence with Iran. President Obama says he's ready to work with both Russia and Iran, but adds there must be a managed transition away from Assad, who he says has brutalized the Syrian people with chemical weapons and indiscriminate bombing. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the United Nations.
Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump has outlined a proposed tax plan that would include higher taxes for the wealthiest Americans and tax breaks for millions of lower-income Americans. Trump, in a speech today, estimated his proposal will spur the economy to grow by at least 3% a year and possibly by as much as 5-6%. But most economists are describing that as unrealistic. Trump, in outlining his plan, promised to simplify the U.S. tax code, eliminating deductions and loopholes for special interest groups. Consumers were opening their wallets in August. The Commerce Department reported a strong jump in consumer spending last month with a 0.4% increase compared to the previous month when spending was up by a similar amount. In both cases, much of the gains were due to a strong uptick in purchases of so-called big-ticket items known as durable goods. U.S. stock markets fell sharply to start a new trading week, with major indices down 2 to 3%, as NPR's John Itzde reports a sell-off in pharmaceutical stocks led the decline.
Drug company stocks, which fell last week after Hillary Clinton unveiled a plan aimed at lowering the cost of drugs, took another dive. Analysts attributed the continued slide to comments from Democrats on a House Oversight Committee who called for Valeant Pharmaceuticals to provide documents explaining price increases on two of its heart drugs. That dragged the Nasdaq Biotech Index down 6%. Overall, the Nasdaq Composite dropped 3%. Continued concern about a growth slowdown in China also weighed on stocks, especially commodity producers. In the end, the Dow Industrials fell nearly 2%, and the S&P 500 shed about 2.5%. John Itzde, NPR News, Washington.
Taking a look at the numbers, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 312 points today to end the session at 16,001. The Nasdaq was down 142 points at 4543. The Standard & Poor's 500 fell 49 points today, closing at 1881. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. Royal Dutch Shell, after overcoming regulatory hurdles and stiff opposition from environmental groups, now says it is pulling the plug on its plans to begin exploratory drilling in the Arctic off the coast of Alaska. The company is citing disappointing results from a well drilled earlier this month north of the Bering Strait off Alaska's northwest coast. Shell in February was the most robust bidder for drilling leases, and its departure means no other company has plans on the books to drill there at the moment. In London, an amusement park created by the street artist Banksy shut its doors after just 5 weeks in operation. NPR's Leila Fowler reports the park, known as Dismal Lands Wood, and its fixtures will be used to build shelters for refugees.
The park was billed as the UK's most disappointing tourist attraction, and it was built purposely gloomy. Banksy, the anonymous English graffiti artist, said it was a family attraction that acknowledges inequality and impending catastrophe. An announcement on the website says the scrap from dismantling the park will be taken to the jungle refugee camp in Calais, France, to build shelters. Some 5,000 displaced people are camped out in and around the French port there. The park in Somerset featured migrant boats, a derelict castle, and an anarchist training camp. It sold out every day it was open, and some 150,000 people visited in the five-week run. Leila Faldin, NPR News, London.
Upscale grocery chain Whole Foods says it's axing about 1,500 jobs at its locations, or roughly 1.6% of its existing workforce. The company says it's trimming jobs and lowering some prices in order to make the chain more competitive, however, rather than outright layoffs. Whole Foods says many of the job cuts will come through attrition. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
From the latest newscasts to the newest podcasts, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.
You are listening to The Buzz on the ZTalk Radio Network. Imagine the possibilities. Now back to the show with Kevin Thompson and Molly Spence. The best in alternative talk radio.
Everybody, you are back. We are listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And joining us again for the remainder of the show is Karen Dahlman. And some people, I think, from what I've learned and about the, you know, the last segment of the show and off air, some people, Karen, are just destined towards the use of the board. Like Molly, you were telling an interesting story. You want to share that?
Oh, that when I was about 9 or 10 years old, I had a dream. A friend and I were supposed to go downtown, to the big part of the city, to the department store the following day. And I had a dream that evening or that night about a Ouija board, and I had no idea what they were. But she and I went to town the next day, and I went straight to the game department and found the Ouija board and bought it. I had no idea what it was, what it meant, anything else. But
that's great. Did you use it then, and it worked for you?
It did. It did, and I used it for several years. Of course, you know, over the years it got lost in the shuffle somewhere, then one of the moves. But I did have it probably for 15 years or more. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, now if you still had that board, that would be a collector's item.
I'm sure it would be.
Collect. Oh, yeah, it would be, because you had one of the original fold boards, and some of those go for nice prices, and there's a lot of us out here that do collect. There's some collectors that have over thousands of boards in their collection. I think I have 15 now.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I just added the Swami board to it. Cost Plus was selling them, and the price was incredible. And I have one of the original ones from the 40s, and so the remake was really nice. And I do use all my boards. I have my favorite one that I received from Santa Claus in 1973, circa. But that's what I use the most. But I have homemade boards people have sent me, made for me, and I have a collection of a lot of the William Fold original boards. My oldest board is a 1902 board, and then I do have different talking boards, such as the Swami board, and there's a few others. I have the Mystic Tray. There's this tray they had in the 40s, and it actually was a tray with the edges turned up, but it was a board, and there's a planchette that came with it, and they would bring out their little desserts or their toddies or whatever on this board and serve them, and then when they're done eating or drinking, they play the board. They use a planchette and just take their dishes off of it and then use the board.
Yeah, so it became a big social thing for parties.
It absolutely was. Yeah, and but again, back then it was still okay. The negativity didn't really happen to Ouija. Yes, along the way there were stories and people had associations of negativity with Ouija, but that really changed in 73. So a lot of these boards from the 40s and 30s and 20s were just seen as a novelty item. Somebody had them in their house. They had that along with maybe Monopoly, or nothing scary. They're just neutral. There's no energy imbued in them that make them do negative, nasty things. It's ourselves that come to the board that bring up the negative, nasty things. It's our energy that attracts that. And so, they're neutral. They're really beautiful pieces of artwork, too. That's why a lot of us collect them.
Well, I don't know if my parents even knew what a Ouija board was when I bought it and brought it home, but you know, they never said anything about it, so I continue to use it.
Oh, that's great.
That's funny. I hadn't even thought about that for a long time.
Well, now you're going to wish you had that, maybe, Molly.
I really do. I really wish I had it.
It is a fascinating tool, probably because of the way I've used it. And I know that's because of the way I used it. And there's been never any fear associated with it. I have all my boards out on display in my home. There's not an issue with that at all. People don't like it. That's their problem. I don't get negative spirits. Nothing comes and attacks me, and nothing possesses me or is demonic. It's just been nothing. Those are neutral. I'm solid and secure in myself, and that's just my spiritual practice. And so the boards sit out. They're part of my decor in my house. They're beautiful pieces of artwork, and so I really appreciate. I appreciate the use of them as a tool, and I appreciate them as art.
If someone wanted to, if they thought there was something dark attached to it or whatever, how would one go about getting rid of the board? I've heard you should not burn them or whatever.
Well, you bring
say,
up.
Well, should I throw it away? Should I burn it? Yeah. What is the ritual for closing the board and getting rid of it?
Yeah, well, I'd say pack it up and send it to me. I'll give you my address, and I'll pay for the shipping, because I will take it. Now, I say this tongue in cheek, and I laugh about it, because truly there's nothing about these boards. I know people talk about the attachments and energies. Okay, let's say your belief system supports that. My belief system doesn't, so therefore I don't get it. But let's say somebody's belief system supports that, and they feel like there's something attached to the board. They probably shouldn't be using the tool. They probably shouldn't be working with that tool. I think too much in our imagination can cause a lot. It can actually literally make things happen. We are a lot more powerful than we know we are. We are creators, and so we can start drawing stuff to us. So, but if you do have anything negative, you feel like on your board, let's try this example. I get this one a lot. if somebody's using a board, they're really excited to use it, they want to use it, they're using it, they feel like they're using it correctly, all these things, and then they get a negative thing, like they get a negative communication on the board, something that says something derogatory or demeaning or cussing at them.
Or threatening.
Threatening them, yeah. You immediately stop. Put the board away. That is your control. That is our empowerment. The board doesn't control us. We control the board. And the board is really nothing. We control the communication. We control the energy. And if somebody in live is talking that way, that's not appropriate either. You shut it down and walk away, or report that to the official. Yeah. This is no different. We have to be smart about this. Protect yourself. You get anything negative that talks to the board, it very well could be because, you know, you've got a little fear, or it could be, and this is not a bad thing. We all have fears. It could be you're having a bad day and just the energy kind of attracted something like that. It's not to blame anybody. It's just to say, but you stay empowered and just stop using the board that day. Put it away. Put it away for a few days. Put it away for hours. Put it away and then come back to it with a special ritual such as smudging. You might smudge it and say a protective prayer. What works for your belief system that allows you to feel secure and strong? Don't you agree?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like that with probably even when you do an investigation, do you find that you have to come about it with certain intentions?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, no different here then. It's the same thing. I'm doing an investigation in a way through the communications with different spirits. That's the other reason why it's good to have your spirit bouncers, your guides, your master and mistresses of ceremony on the other side that can really help you with this communication, because they're going to have your best interest as well, and the communication to be positive, and they can help bounce out those that may be coming through that just aren't of the best quality. I never engage. Don't engage. So you get one negative thing, you say, I ask you now to leave my board, and with this, I'm ending this session now. Thank you very much. Goodbye. You just say it sternly, but you're not mean. You don't cuss back. Mm-hmm. You don't get angry. You just say it sternly and say, okay, this is not okay. It's not acceptable. Okay, well, if you want to come through in a positive manner, you're able to come through, and if not, I just shut this down now. Goodbye. Thank you for your time. Doop. Done. Mm-hmm. Put it away. Simple as that.
Just like with the telemarketers.
And it works.
Exactly.
But what'd you say, Kevin?
I said it's just like dealing with a telemarketer.
Yes, just like the Jamaican scammers that Ellen brought up earlier. You know, it's like you just got to hang up the phone sometimes. And so this is no different. I hang up my cosmic phone. I had received some when I was newer at this and younger, and this was like this is like 80. I think the last probably negative thing I had was 85, 86. And what that was some energy came through. Said his name and then started communicating and started degrading and demeaning me in a couple sentences. And I said, that's it. I said, this is a bore to me. Quite frankly, you're a bore. If you can't use better language than that, you don't have a right to even communicate with us. And therefore, I'm just going to put this away. Says, you can't talk. Bye-bye. And that's what I did. And I never had that experience again.
And it's been
that
long?
That's kind of what we do on our investigations too, you know. So it's the same thing.
Yeah, works very much the same.
So, kind of walk us through the mechanics. I mean, let's say a person has just bought their board. They have no experience with it whatsoever. How do they properly use it? What do they do?
Great. Yeah, this is I write extensively about this. I have 13 steps I developed over the years, and they're in that book, The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication, Chapter 4. I know this by heart because I get asked this a lot. And there's a lot of, like you brought up earlier, Molly, you know, you have to say goodbye and you have to burn the board or don't do this. And there's a lot of people put a lot against Ouija stitions out there about things you can and can't do. It's just a piece of wood, people. It's cardboard. If you want to rip it up, do it. Masonite boards don't burn. That's why your Masonite board won't burn.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I've so many times been asked that question. It's like, well, I don't know. It's just a game as far as I know. You just throw it away. And they're going, no, you can't do that. You have to close it out.
No, you don't. In fact, when I communicate the board, my beings don't say goodbye. They never go to everybody says, it must go to the goodbye. I go, really? I've been doing this 42 years. That's a new one. I never heard that. They don't have to go to goodbye. Goodbye, it's on there because in the old days, people were very formal when they created boards. Everybody said, adieu, hello, goodbye. They don't necessarily have to say that. Now, people like that because it gives closure. So what I do is, and I'll explain the steps you mentioned you want to hear, Kevin. But what I do is I make sure I just say goodbye out loud myself. But so we'll get into, there's 13 steps. I'm not going to cover them all, but I'll cover the overview of them. And you can see just kind of how the progression of it works. So I think it's really important for me, and this is my belief system, and this is what I've created from that, and having great communications. I believe that that when I do this work, I'm stepping into a sacred space, which means I'm stepping into a space, literally and also metaphorically, that will allow me to connect with energies of the unseen that typically we don't see with our physical senses, although we can feel them sometimes. And I want to have respect for that. I want to have respect for myself as I go into it, and I want to have respect for the space in which I'm doing it, and I want to have respect for the energies that are able to communicate with me. Because it really is, I feel like it's an honor. It's an honor to do this work. It's an honor to be able to do this work, and it's an honor to speak to the beings that I'm in communication with. I'm just very blessed by that. And I just feel that I need to be sacred about it. So what I do is I always light a candle or burn some incense. So I'm taking myself from the mundane, from the secular, and moving myself into a more profane, into an experience. It's like a ritual, if you will. As I light that candle, as I come to the table I typically sit at, as I work with this, I usually work with the same partners, and I say it's because it helps you build a connection. It's actually a circuitry. Your energy starts connecting, and it's through your connections that you're able to bring these energies through this communication. So the connection of your partner is very important. Some people do the board on their own, and we can talk about that as well. We'll get to that after this. But so that's important for me. So we sit at the same spot every time. We light the candle, and we're at a place where we know we're not hungry, we're not tired, we're not angry, we're not upset. We checked our baggage at the door. We're sitting at a place we feel very comfortable and relaxed. Then the next thing we do, by the way, we never imbibe on substances that alter your mood, because that just changes the frequency of what you're able to connect to. I highly recommend you do not do that.
Absolutely.
And I'm talking about the drugs and the drinking and those things of that nature. Some people take regular medication.
Don't mix spirits with spirits.
Yeah, don't mix the wrong spirits with the right spirits. And the right spirits are my spirits I talked to on the board, not the other spirits. Exactly. There's a time for that, and you can do that outside of the session, but not before, not during. A lot of people do these drunken Ouija sessions when they're in college or playing around at a party, and that's when they get these problems. So let's learn from those experiences. The next thing I do is we do breathing exercises, and I have verbatim what those are in the book, and you can read about them there. And then I have a prayer that's verbatim in the book too, and I use this prayer. I've been using it forever. I think I developed this one. Actually, the spirit guides helped me develop it in the early 90s. And before that, I was using just a basic other prayer that I kind of learned over the years. So that right there sets the seriousness of my session and the communications I'm welcoming in. I'm saying this is sacred, this is special, and I say it out loud. I say all these things out loud, and my partner and I even hold hands. That creates a circuitry, and I have a whole exercise behind that. Then I always, before I open up, I always ask about the white light coming in. This is my belief system again. I believe in the white light. I do a lot of healing light work, and I ask that it protects us, surrounds the board, the planchette, ourselves, the house, even our vehicles that we drove in, the animals, anybody who's present, and that it goes out into the world for good. And then before I start, I always say, well, we're going to welcome you in. These are my beings. I talk to the same ones come in every time. And you can call upon, this is where you would say, Elm, you would say, I call upon my higher self to come forward. I welcome you, and I'm excited to be in communication with you. Looking forward to meeting you more directly. And then you would open your session. But before I actually start with my hands on the planchette, I say one more thing. This is what a lot of people don't do. I say thank you in advance. I say, I want to say thank you in advance for coming tonight and making your attempts at communication, because we always appreciate that. It's being respectful, being loving, being kind, and that's the, because what you're doing is really creating an energy. And you do all the things that allow you to create this positive, uplifting energy, and you'll feel it in your body when you're sufficient and sufficed in what you said. And you're going to feel that, and that is what's going to draw those energies to you. These are the energies that, to get to these energies I'm talking to, that's where I need to be. So I do support a lot of my work with this tool through meditation. So then when I'm in the session, I ask my questions. We try to keep it where one person's asking. It's not all over the board. The questions, they're all taped on a digital recorder, as well as I write down my answers. I have one hand on the planchette, one hand on a pen and pencil and paper, and I write as well as I record everything. Because the letters come like A, D, Q, V, P, and I don't know what it's saying. I just get out of the way and let the words come, and then even when I don't know where it's going, a lot of times I don't know where it's going, I think that can't be a word. It'll go I-S-I-S-I-T, and it's like, those are actually words. They start spelling words. And when I look at it, it's easy to see where the words break, and then I just read it. You read the message back, and then we talk about it. Now, what happens in my sessions when my partner and I and whoever attends, we talk. We keep our hands on the planchette often because the spirits might have something to say during our conversation about what was just written. So they'll jump back in and talk. It's like having a communication, like at a dinner table, and everybody's there to put in their input and to talk and to share. And so they're there just as much as we are. And they always tell me, how can we be of service? We are here to learn from you as you are here to learn from us. It's like a two-way street. And so that's kind of how our sessions go. The last thing I do when I'm done complete with the transmission, with the communication, I just basically say, we want to thank you again tonight for your time here. If you can give us a final wrap-up summary, they usually give me a sentence or two of what the night was about. And I'll say, thank you again, and we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next time. And the energy, I just feel it lift. It just lifts. It doesn't go to goodbye. The planchette doesn't move. Mm-hmm. It just goes. And then I put that board away, because that's my board I use the most. I put that one away, and we walk away from the table, and then we're done. And then that's how we close it. Blow out the candle. Then you go mm-hmm. back into your regular life. It's a ritual, in a way.
Well, that's easy. that is simple.
Very easy.
So they always make it seem like it's so ritualistic, like there's specific ways you have to open it, specific ways you have to close it.
No, I don't know what people like stories. I gotta tell you, I've been doing it forever, and it works just great. And again, it's really about my energy. I'm gonna get like attracts like, and I'm gonna get what I put out. And we get that in life too.
The laws of attraction.
We put that energy out there for a positive day, and then more positive things happen. And sometimes things do go bad in life, but it's always our take. It's always our view and our perception about it that changes it. And so I approach this like I approach life, that this is sacred. As if I'm interacting with somebody in life and I'm getting to know them, I'm going to be really respectful of them and learn and listen and you know, be kind. And that's what I get back, because I'm that way. I don't go about it like, oh, it's going to be a scary session, I can't wait. You know, and I've been in haunted places. I've done investigation hauntings and stuff of that nature, and I still go about it the exact same way, because even if there's some kind of perturbed spirit, they have something to say and they deserve respect. If they don't give me respect, then I just shut it down at that point. It's not worth it for me.
Yeah, we do that also. You know, Kevin's a medium, so you know, I'm and it's funny when he finally connects, you know, but once in a while we'll have an angry spirit, and yeah, you know, we'll have to explain to them why we're there, and you know, we're not interfering or anything like that. We just, you know, we're there to help them.
Exactly. And when I get, once in a while, spirits will come through who are wandering and they're lost, and they'll come through and they'll say, where am I? Can you help me? I see a light and I don't know what to do, and or I'm just dark and I need, and I that doesn't scare me. I don't get freaked out. I just work with them. I just talk to them mm-hmm. and say, what can I do? Tell me what you know. And we have a conversation, and I've helped a lot of spirits move on, not because it's my agenda, but because it was their agenda. That's what they wanted. And so I've mm-hmm. had them come to me to ask for that specifically. Help me. I don't know. You know, I'm lost. Can you get me into the light? I know I'm supposed to go, but I'm afraid to, or whatever the reasons are. And I do write a lot of I share these stories in that book, Spirits of Ouija, too, because I want people to know what kind of things you can encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And how to work with these energies when you do encounter them. Doesn't have to be scary, but I know it sometimes the paranormal does come across scary because it's what we're not expecting.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a surprise, right? It's the mystery. And I think that draws us to it as well. You know,
well, you know, I had told someone one time, and they go, isn't that scary to be into that? And I said, no. I said, the more you get into it, the more fascinating it becomes, yeah. Because I'm no longer worry about death. I know what to kind of expect, you know, afterwards, and you know, it's calming to me.
Isn't that the truth? I'm telling you, work with the Ouija board too, Molly. I'm glad you said that. It's really given me a calm sense and peace about death. In fact, I've had people contact me. They know they're ready to die, kind of thing. I know it's happening, and they've talked to me about this, the exact same thing. Like, what, you know, tell me more. I want to, because that's what I talk to. I talked to a lot of, over the years, many deceased people, mm-hmm. and positive, that it was a positive experience. But you're right, when you start working in these realms, and whether it's investigating or mediumship or the board or other ways of working with this, you start to get a sense of peace and a more connectedness of understanding that we really continue to exist, and death, it doesn't have to be a scary thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it helps. It helps on that level for me with the whole death and dying process, because really of this work I've done with the board.
And it's kind of odd. A lot of my church friends, you know, when I didn't tell them what I did for the longest time, but then they somehow the conversation would kind of turn to that. Somehow, and now that they found out, they're calling me all the time for advice and, you know, what do I think about this or whatever, and, you know, they're all very interested in it, and none of them shunned me away, so...
Isn't that amazing? Well, you know, there's such a resurgence now of being able to talk about this stuff, and it's all over the TV shows, and you know, that's why I didn't come out. I have a whole other career I do, and I'm in the industry out here in the greater LA area, and I have a little name for myself out here, and then I thought I'm going to be on, you know, national radio doing this stuff and shows, and I thought, wow, but I couldn't hold it back anymore. It was just too mind blowing that I was willing to do that at the expense of what the results could be, and I've had nothing but positive results as coming out. Where I thought, oh, they're gonna go, you're a crazy person, and all these things, and that I always had worried about why I didn't talk about such stuff. Just like you know, you get your group of friends, and then the ones that you think are gonna judge you, and it turns out it's amazing. A lot of them don't.
But don't you find that a lot of times when you're speaking to someone, and they throw something at you, kind of like it's a signal saying it's okay, even though they don't know what you're doing, that somehow there's that connection, there's a signal like, okay, I need for you to tell me this.
Yes, you know. It's like code. We speak in code, and I remember doing that often. I still, at times, you meet somebody new, I just won't. There's no reason to say, oh, I use a Ouija board. There's no reason. But when people say, you know, what do you do? I usually say, I'm an author, and I write books about spirituality. And I leave it at that, unless they want to know more, and then it might go into more. And at that point, I'll say, "What's my topic is, you know, dead people and spirit beings." And you know, you just kind of feel it out, right? And then you find out if it's safe. But it's become a lot more safe. And so we really, the consciousness of humanity is really shifting right now. And I think it's what some of your other guests are probably talking about, the interconnectivity of all of us. And and this tool is really showing me this in real time. With the different beings I've spoken to and the messages, and then just taking those messages and applying them to my life and to other people's lives too, and then now I'm sharing it in a bigger way in the books of how to apply a lot of these messages to our lives to live a more joyous life. That's really their message. Their message really is one of ancient wisdom and teachings, and that we can use in today's time, in today's real world, and learn to create and craft a life of your dreams that can be joyous, and learn to find your center, connected to our higher self, where when things do happen that aren't pleasant, that we can come back to center quicker and not be thrown so far off. And that's really their message, and that all my writing is about that, because it's very much influenced by my spirit friends.
Yeah. Have any of the spirits talked to you about the big shift that's going on right now?
Yes, we talk about it all the time. In fact, I have a section on my website called Moon Messages, and it's the collective group of beings that I was mentioning earlier that I call the Moon, and they talk about a lot of these shifts that are happening, and a lot of that information went into my third book, The Spirit of Alchemy, and how to traverse these shifts, how to work with them, and how to go deeper into the seen and unseen forces, and use them to help you emerge, into the greatness you're supposed to be, that you came here to do, and all of our part upon this change, a shift that's happening. But yeah, we write all about that stuff, and I release the Moon Messages every week on a Saturday or Sunday, and one comes out. It's detailed. Usually it's what one of the sessions was about, or it's they say something so profound. I go, okay, I got to put that in the moon message. And then I put thoughts and questions to ponder to kind of help dig into the message a little deeper and see how it applies in your own life. But that's kind of fun. You can check that out. It's all free on the website, all that stuff. But yeah, that's what we talk a lot about, this the shift and how to manage this within our lives. Mm-hmm.
Well, at the end of the show, you'll have to tell everyone how to get in touch with you and and how to buy your books and everything. So,
yeah, sure. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, before we run out of time, I wanted to make sure I got this question in, Karen. You worked in psychotherapy for a while.
Yeah, I did for a decade. I was a licensed and practicing psychotherapist in a couple different states. Yeah, and I had a private practice. I worked at a hospital for about a year and a half, 2 years, and I immediately went into private practice. I couldn't stay in the bureaucratic system for many reasons, but I immediately partnered with some psychiatrists and was one of their therapists that worked in their offices and then opened my own. And I did a lot of contract work in hospitals too, but my specialty was dissociative identity disorders, which used to be called multiple personality disorder. Mm-hmm. It's like post-traumatic stress disorder too. I worked with all those kinds of issues of dissociation, and that was my specialty. And so when I would work with clients, I would have one person in a session, but it could end up bringing five or six of their alters, other personalities that would pop out. So I got really used to talking to unseen forces in another way. I say it tongue in cheek, but it's true. I wasn't learning to navigate that clientele and work with them and how to do it in ways that help them and not hinder their personality and split them off further. It's pretty tricky, and it requires a lot of skill to it, but it allowed me to really see what our consciousness, what our mind, what our brain is capable of doing. And I say beyond the brain, I say mind and consciousness, because if one person, one being in a body can actually create all these other personalities within it, and that change eye color, that change body temperature, that change blood pressure, that change all these physical things about ourselves and literally change them and hold somatic memories in our body. I had clients that if they recalled a bad episode in their life when they were younger, what creates multiple personality is being abused at a very young age. Usually it's under the age of 10 or 12, and your brain is still malleable, you're still forming, and so you can't quite put this in perspective of why you're being so abused. And so I've had some that were abused so much, like with cigarette burns in their arm, that when they recall these events or their personalities came out, their arm all of a sudden manifested those mm-hmm. cigarette burns again. So I was witnessing these things and studying these things and taking a lot of classes on this and just doing the best I could with this clientele, which I love that clientele. And it really helped me put some spiritual things in perspective, to take risks with my spiritual development, meaning there's so much more that we can't explain, that it's held by the body or held by memory or held somewhere in our, I call it our cellular, not cellular, but cellular memory, that if I could find a way to tap into this. And so that made me really use the Ouija board very differently, that we could talk to a part of ourself, an aspect of ourself, or that I could talk to this pain in my body even through the board. I mean, there's I can just go on and on. There's so much more to share, but but I think that clientele and my background working with this group of people, it was very rewarding and but very difficult. That it really helped shape me to again take these risks I do with the board and to really reach out there and discover some of these other levels of consciousness that we can communicate with.
So, when you had clients that were suffering from, you know, hearing voices or hearing things or seeing things, how did you reconcile that with your knowledge of, you know, the supernatural?
Well, I studied a lot about the supernatural, and because this clientele really, it was necessary. I had to look at this from a spiritual level and not just all clinical. Although I was trained very clinically, and I would follow the protocols, but there's a spiritual aspect to dissociative disorders. The spiritual aspect is these people can check out of their bodies. A lot of them do tend to see things, and I guess I had a heads up in a way on this because I was seeing things when I was a child myself, and not from abuse, but just because I just, like we talked earlier, I was born this way. I don't know. I never thought it was different. But so I always approached my work with them on a very spiritual level. It's not a matter of whether I believe their stories or not. It's a matter of working with the stories that they had to tell and find a way to put it in a compartment, in a way, to put it in a way that they can live their life more fully and not feel so still abused by all the horrors that they had witnessed or been a part of at a younger age, and how to move through life. So you have to, I had to take all these stories in and not say, that's right, that's wrong, that's not real, that's not really an altar, that they're faking it. You can't. You have to look at it from a holistic perspective, that all this is a part of their story, and let's somehow put this together so it could be, so they could feel more whole in their life. And so a lot of them would have to go, to other kinds of disciplines, like some would have to go to a church to work with their spiritual or pastoral counselor. Some would go take these other kind of like Reiki trainings to learn about light. We did a lot of self-help work in terms of finding your light within, because when you have an altar in you, the part of you that's the bully, that was the one that took all the abuse. By the way, I do write about this in my third book, a good case example of this to explain how it works spiritually. Because this is, to me, it's connected. And we can't look at things just as one episode, one thing, that. We got to look at it holistically. And so we did do a lot of spiritual work along with the counseling, traditional counseling work. And I'm an art therapist. That's my master's degree, that I would use art. And art allows you, in a way, to speak nonverbal things, to not be able to hide. The art really shows the truth. And so I talk a lot about art in my books as a way to also access these other dimensions of yourself, your higher self, maybe the wounded part of yourself, or as my clients who really have split personalities and all these alters within, they could access those and bring them together through the art. So there's so much. We could just do a whole show on that. To me, that's quite fascinating. It was very fascinating, but it was definitely my groundwork. And to this work I was doing outside of it, my own spiritual works, communicating with the guides. And, they didn't see the two things as separate. Although I had to practice them separately, they saw how all this worked together. They said that's the reason why you're doing well with that population, because you're doing well with the work we're teaching you, and then you're vice versa. You know, it all goes. It was all holistic again. I saw it all as the same thing.
Well, how does somebody get in touch with you, or get in touch with your works, with your art, and with your books? How do they reach you?
Well, I thank you for asking, and let me allow me to share this. I have a new website. We launched it in June. I'm really excited about it. It's, you can go to Karen A. Dahlman, D-A-H-L-M-A-N, my name, KarenADahlman.com, or my publishing house, which is CreativeVisionsPublications.com, and you can find information about me, my background, but also all these articles. I write a lot of articles that are for free. Go into the article section. I write about things about Art of Well-Being. I call it the Art of Spirit series, and I have the Art of Talking Board series, so you can learn how to use a talking board better. I also have on the Moon Messages, which are channeled information. And then you can get the books there on my website. If you want an autographed copy of the books, you can order there directly. It's all secure. And then you can always go to Amazon.com. Amazon.com has my books in Kindle and in paperback. And I have three books, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, which really gets into the art, really gets into I wrote that book many years ago, and I finally got it published in 2012, but I wrote it when I was working with this clientele, and all the exercises we use to really move forward in life feeling more whole. And my second book is The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication, that came out in the fall of 2013. And that one is really just about my whole odyssey, using the board and everything we talked about tonight. And my third book just came out April 2015. By the way, all these books were written with the help of my spirit friends. They're very much a part of my books. The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. This book gets into the advanced Ouija. It gets into how to use the board, and then beyond the board, how to work with all these different dimensions that we're all connected to, and use it to find the greatness within and express that within the world at large.
And don't forget that coming soon, your next book is by Hermes.
Oh, by Jack.
Jack.
Yeah. Jack. The other cat said, I gotta tell you one more thing. It's so funny. When the cat said, come on the board, his name's Panzer, and he goes, so I hear Jack's writing a book. And I said, yeah. And he says, well, am I in it? I said, no. Did you want to be in it? He goes, no, I could write my own book if I wanted to. I said, okay, when you want to write a book, you let me know. It's okay. He's a little jealous.
You're going to be busy with all your...
I know, they're all lining up. Well, I'm actually working on two animal communication stories right now. So that's one of them, the one that Jack's writing. I have another one I'm writing as well, which is about animal communication reincarnation. This is really a fascinating story. That's a whole other thing. But yeah, you're right. Those will be the next books coming out.
Well, have you seen The Cat Diary on Facebook?
No, I haven't.
It's funny. I don't know if it's YouTube or exactly how to get on that, but it's called The Cat Diary. They also have a dog diary, but it's everyday occurrences that the animals go through and their thoughts and stuff. It's quite hilarious.
Oh, I love it. Well, I know I've seen some really funny animal, like people making the animals talk and voicing over their words over the cat when they're chewing. It looks like they're talking. I've seen that, and that's funny stuff. So I'll check that out. But yeah, my cats literally talk to me on the board.
Yeah.
See, now I'm curious to know what my cats are saying.
You don't want to know.
they're like little two-year-olds. They're just so precious when they talk. They're just great. They're just direct. They're fun.
I can only imagine what mine would be saying. She's something anyway. I'm going to talk about two-year-olds. I think she's going through her two-year-old stage right now. Gets into more mischief and looks right at you doing it.
Gotta love our animals. Their blessings are just... Yeah.
They're great.
Well, Karen, unfortunately, we've run out of time. So we'll have to have you on again. I'd like to talk to you just about dissociative disorders.
Oh, that'd be fun, too. There's so much to say about that. But thank you both, Kevin and Molly. And thank you, everybody, in the chat room. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the questions, for the call-in, for the comments. This has been a great show. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for being on.
Welcome.
We've been honored by you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
We'll talk to you again soon, Karen. Good night.
Okay, good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Well, Molly, that was an awesome, awesome show.
Yeah, now we have nothing to be afraid of on Ouija boards any longer.
I guess not. between her and Al, it's not like I'm going to run out and buy one tonight, but I guess, I did not know that you could do all of that.
Well, I didn't either. You know, I only knew it as a child's board game, and, you know, until I got older, and then I heard all the bad things associated with it. And so I kind of left it alone for years. And then when, you know, I got in with the parapsychology group and everything, and metaphysical groups, you know, we started doing the table tipping and the pendulums and stuff like that. That's why I was asking if it was the same thing, basically, because you're still calling in unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
But we do put protection around us and stuff when we're doing that. So, but yeah, it's just another
tool,
you know, just like our ghost hunting stuff. You know, we got different tools, and, you know, some of it all does the same thing, only it just looks different.
And one talks, so.
And one talks, one doesn't.
But
one beeps.
Well, we're out of time, Molly.
That happens.
Yeah, we've got Al Warren's House of Mystery coming up next, right behind us, in about 4 minutes. So, there it is.
Yep, they're flashing the lights.
But next week, we have got Jeff Rich.
Yeah, and he's local Huntsvillian, and a very fascinating person. He's talking about, I really don't know what his subject's going to be. I'm talking ahead of myself here, because he has started some new classes, and
this has been a production.
Oops, sorry,
and I think it's going to be a very interesting show, though. And, you know, check in with us and check our board, and we'll have everything listed on what he'll talk about.
And we'll be posting him probably here tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
But join us again.
And we'll be back again with you next Monday night at 8 o'clock. So mark your calendars.
Be there or be square, as they say.
Well, good night, everybody. You've been listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. We'll talk to you again next Monday.